Well, hey, how you doing? I'm Dave Swerdlick from Uptown Podcast Studios, located in Uptown Minneapolis, and Story Cub Video Picture Books. If you have a niece, a nephew, a son, a daughter, a poodle, a chihuahua, it doesn't matter, check it out. Free video story time, and thanks again to the University of Minnesota, the theater department there specifically, for helping out, finding some awesome talent for Story Cub. So, thank you. But even more so, I'm going to say I'm a proud member of Ed North, an EdTech meetup group located in the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And usually our stories kind of start in Minnesota somewhere, but this story starts not in Bemidji, not in St. Paul, not in Anoka, not in Rochester. It starts in Tanzania and works its way to North Dakota. Dr. Marseille Cristal is the founder of Enlight, and you can check it out at enlightapp.co. He's also the co-founder of Pathway Ventures and oh so much more. So let's check out this story. It's Dr. Marseille Cristal, or Chris, on the Ed North EdTech Podcast. Say, tell us how your story begins.
I'm actually Christelle. Everybody actually calls me Chris. So I was actually born and raised in a refugee camp in Tanzania. My family and I migrated to the U.S. in 2010. I was 12 years old and we actually landed in Colorado. And then my family ended up coming to Fargo because we heard there's a lot of jobs. They came from literally, you'd say, like the poorest of the poorest. Coming from a refugee camp, you're born into a circumstance that you can never change. Living there was totally different than living here. So for all my life living in a refugee camp, I was just looking for a country that would actually give me an opportunity to make something out of myself.
What an interesting story. Was it hard to make your way from Tanzania to the United States?
I was actually born and raised there for about 12 years. And my parents were in the refugee camps for about, I believe, probably at least 16 years. It's extremely difficult for refugees to come to the U.S. I still have some friends who are still in the refugee camp till today, who are born there and are still kind of there because of the instabilities that are going on in our country.
So how do you get out of the refugee camp?
There's very, very intense interviews. The American immigration, or Australian, British, literally any country, Dave. You're really sitting ducks. If America wants 30 families, they interview and very, very intense interviews, medical checks, and they fact check everything that you say in interviews. So it's very, very difficult. But, you know, my family kind of just went through those processes in order to actually be eligible to get resettlement. In order to come here, they have to basically determine that if you go back to your country, you're actually in danger.
That's quite a story, D.A. Marseille. And by the way, D.A. Marseille is your first name, and most people call you Chris. So for this interview, if it's okay, we're going to call you Chris. We're your friend, right? So Fargo.
One of the things that, you know, my parents, we actually used to live, we went to Colorado right away when we came to the U.S. And my parents, they're both educated and they wanted better jobs than just, I guess, like working and, you know, manufacturing jobs. And my mom and my dad, like, used to work at like Cargill. And this was like a very, very hard job for them. And they're, you know, like my mom used to be a doctor and my dad used to work for the United Nations too. And, you know, so we decided to kind of come look for kind of even, I guess, a better life. And by hearing North Dakota had a lot of jobs, my parents decided to leave Colorado and come up here for a better life.
Just out of curiosity, where in Colorado were you?
In a really, really small town called Fort Morgan.
Okay.
I don't know if you've even heard of it.
I used to live in Colorado, but I have not heard of it.
Yeah. It's like 100 miles from Denver.
Okay. But you're in Fargo now. This is the Ed North EdTech podcast, and Fargo is certainly part of the Ed North, yeah. And you have a lot going on. One of the things is Enlight. Can you tell us how you got the idea for this app? Because it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's actually a very, very interesting story. So, you know, per my background of me coming from Africa, we didn't have school for, I think, 3 years. You know, school was in and out. And, you know, for a lot of kids, it's like, oh, man, I don't want school. And then they take it away and you're like, oh, man, I really miss school. But when we were in a refugee camp, one of the things that I used to be really passionate about was, like, I'd watch, like, airplanes go by, like, in, like, you know, we're living basically in the middle of a jungle. And I would see airplanes go by, like, once or twice a year. And I would always, like, I was, like, a very, very curious kid. I'm like, how in the world do airplanes work? And, like, you know, it's, like, this majestic thing in the air. And it's, like, making all this noise. And, you know, like, I had no idea how they worked. And one of the things that, so I kind of just started reading books and trying to figure out. And, you know, I always just wanted to be this inventor when I grew up. And, you know, for a very long time, like while living in the refugee camps, I used to like watch these movies, and I'd watch movies and I would see like, especially like American movies, and I would see like American kids in lab coats and, you know, they're on computers. And I always think they're solving all the world problems. Like I thought in school, like high school, middle school, kids are like researching all the things going on in the world and really figuring out how to like help the world, you know, become a better place. And so moving to the US, this was like something that I was like, oh man, like I'm going to go to the US and I'm going to, you know, like invent things and I'm going to do this and this. Like I really thought school was like that until I came here. When I moved here, to be honest, I was a little disappointed in school. And, you know, like I, you know, in Africa, we learn calculus right away from like, as like, I think like from kindergarten, I think it's called calcul in French. But we were learning really hard stuff. And so when I came here, me coming from a refugee camp, I was actually kind of caught up to the American kids on their math. And this was like something that really surprised me because we didn't have school for about 3 years and we just literally moved to the US and I was still like proficient in math and really on the same level with most American kids. But like, I guess throughout, like while going through school, like I was just this like super bored kid, I guess you would say. I like felt no purpose in what I was learning. And this was something that really kind of like bothered me a lot because I really thought that, you know, like school was going to cater to my curiosity and all these, this inventive spirit that I always had, still even from when I was in the camps where we used to even make scooters made out of trees. And I would always feel like, man, like I'm not really learning what I, you know, I'm really passionate about. And this is how it really started, right? I just started thinking that teachers were boring. Like, and this was like, and I would start asking a bunch of students, like, man, like, are you guys just bored in classrooms? And they're always like, yeah, we're also bored too, man. And where like the whole thing came from, and then I went to actually ask my mother. I was like, hey, like, you know, schools are, you know, they're not really the best. And like, you know, what's happening here? Like, why is this like, you know, why is it so hard for me to like not only like also connect with some of the teachers that I was that were teaching me? And my mom always said, like, you know, like, hey, we went through it, you know, like, and you should go through it too. And this is something that, like, for me, as like someone who's like very inventive, like, or problem solver, I was like, man, like, someone need to do something about it. So when I graduated high school in 2016, Dave, I went on a mission to solve boredom in the classroom. I was like, man, like, someone needs to do something about this. But what I found out very, very quickly was that, like, it's actually very hard to solve boredom. But throughout that process of me getting slapped in the face, I actually got to interview more than 200 educators around the world. And this was one of the most, like, honestly like the best thing I've ever really done. And that's kind of where it led to Enlight, because these teachers that I was talking to around the world like started changing my mind, to where for me as a student, and speaking from a student lens, I was just looked at a teacher as like, you know, she's not really like teaching me the way I wanted to be taught or all these things. And like, I was kind of just blamed the teacher. But after talking to educators, I actually found out that, you know, their capacity to really reach all the students in the classroom is very, very, very limited. And I had this teacher from Texas who literally said, like, you know, teachers are basically public speakers that don't really know their audience. And this is something that, like, you know, really, really stuck to me, because when I started thinking about when I was in like middle school and high school, the teachers that impacted me were the teachers that got to know who Chris was. They got to understand my inventive spirit, my problem solving spirit, and they got to give me chances on public speaking because I wanted to learn. But in order for me to do that, I had to not only open up to these teachers, because they had more than like 200 students like every year. They have so many students that it's impossible for them to actually get to know every kid and what their passions are and all these things. And so I kind of actually started feeling a little bit more empathetic to educators. And I started respecting them even more about the job they go into, because one thing that I really learned was like about 87% of educators go to into teaching because they want to impact students. And this is a question that I started actually asking those teachers. I said, how many students do you think you're actually impacting every year? And this is like an answer that was like really, really surprising to me, because most of the teachers were telling me about between 2 to 4 students are the ones that they really felt like they're changing the kids' lives.
Wow.
And this was like very, very like really revealing to me. And I was like, well, if you went into teaching to impact the students and really change the student lives, like, why are you still there if you're really just impacting for like 2 to 4? And they said, you know, sometimes like those 2 to 4 students are enough, even though like I would really like to figure out ways to reach more students. My capacity is just limited. And this is when like I actually started saying, hey, like, you know, if you could know anything about your students on the first day of school, like what would be the things that you would like to know about your students? Because once I started talking to teachers, like, well, by the time that it takes me to really get to know my students and I'm really comfortable with them, it's usually the middle or the end of the semester. And I can attest to this because as a student too, like it's the middle or the end of the semester that I'm starting to kind of get in the groove with the teacher, and the teacher starting to know kind of how the classroom is functioning, what is the mood of the classroom. And then boom, like the semester ends and we have to go to a different teacher the next year. And so that cycle just never stops. And so I'm literally right now on a mission to help teachers become experts on their students, to get to know who their students actually are as human beings. Because I remember when I was going to school, like the things that my mom or my dad would think that I'm passionate about are totally different. And so most of the data that teachers are getting about who their students are usually coming from their colleagues or parents, or maybe sometimes things they overhear in the hallways, or something that a student would actually go tell them. But usually that data is usually very biased, especially if it's coming from another teacher or a parent, because you never really get to know students. And so for me, I always thought like, man, we're students, we're in your classroom. Why don't you just ask us, like, who are you? And that's kind of what we did. And so through our surveys, 4 things came up that teachers wanted to know about their students. They wanted to know what the students were interested in. They wanted to know what their students were passionate about. They also wanted to know, like, what do they really, really care about? Like, you know, deep down, what is their aspiration? And then the 4th thing that they wanted to know is, like, how do they like to learn? What is their favorite mode of learning? And so I took those 4 questions, because when I was in high school, instead of me just going throughout high school and zoning out and being a bored student, I actually took over my own education. And Dave, I started learning how to do videography, photography. I'm a DJ. I produce music. I do all these things. But Dave, none of my teachers in high school knew any of this stuff. So I always thought about like how many kids in school like have all these passions and things that they're interested in. but none of their teachers who are actually there to help them become better citizens in the world don't really know this stuff.
You know, Chris, it's really interesting that you mention music and everything, because the high school that I went to had its own radio station. And when I was in junior high, now known as middle school, I was recruited and I started working at the high school radio station. Long story short, I end up in radio. I'm programming a radio station in Colorado, and then I get into the record business. Spiral's not about me. I'm just trying to share this with you. And so I worked at Arista Records for a couple of years with Clive Davis. I worked for a decade at Columbia Records, putting things together. Worked at MCA. And so, but without this radio station... at my high school, I don't know. I'm very convinced that this probably wouldn't have been the path that I'm not sure what the path would have been. But the radio station at the high school made such a huge impact. And Chris, to try and solve the what a great way you put it. How do you fix boredom in the classroom? Man, I mean that's a big question.
Yeah, you know what I found out, Dave?
What's that?
You know, boredom is a symptom. It's not an actual problem. Like for after like talking to a lot of students and teachers, like I found out boredom is just a symptom of a bigger problem. If teachers don't really have the capacity to get to know who most of their audience are, so they can actually effectively teach them in the classroom. And I'm the same way. Like I was actually very scared to go on this journey. It wasn't until like my physics teacher, Mrs. Strand, she's actually the one that like, you know, I don't know, like this gotta get her in trouble, but she said, hey, Chris, like if you pursue this, instead of doing that, like physics, like test, not test project, because we had a project at the end of the year that we used to take to do like for a physics class. She said, if you go after this idea that you have, I will literally substitute the project for you just literally pursuing your dreams. And so that impact that she made on me, that's a forever impact.
See, and that's amazing. Like, that's amazing, Chris, because because what you found out in your research is that teachers said they help one or two people really have an impact. And I've spoken to a lot of people who have startups, and they say, if it can help one kid, or if it can just help one person, or something like that, I mean, I feel a success. And sometimes people don't really realize that, but in this case, this is true with you. There is no doubt that someone had a huge impact on your future in school.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I was actually just talking to someone yesterday who he just never did any, like he was just like me, this bored student. And then the teacher stopped him and said, hey, you're really good at drawing. You should become an architect. Like a teacher just started talking to him about that. And now he's this successful architect in Fargo. It's literally so amazing how much a teacher can really, truly change your life. And this is why they go into teaching in the first place, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to make an impact. There's no question about that. So how does Enlight, this app that you have, how does this tie in?
Yeah, so you know, like as I started asking teachers of like, you know, what type of information would you like to know about your students on the first day of school? And they were telling me their interests, their passions, their aspirations, and modes of like learning. How did they like to learn? And this is something that, you know, especially working very, very closely with educators, I started learning something very, very interesting. You know, like teachers are always told like this method works, so you need to differentiate or personalize, you know, all these pedagogies that they use. Like one thing that, you know, what teachers are telling me is like, dude, we are experts. We know what we're doing. We know our job, and we're constantly learning. But what we don't have is just the capacity for us to be able to reach a lot of these students, because usually for me as a C student, I was just floating around. Like, the teacher would always pay attention to usually the top scoring students and the bottom, right? Like the super bottom students is who would get most attention in the classroom. But like, it's the middle usually. I think you always hear about like, you know, C students, they all usually become CEOs. But like, the middle are the ones that, you know, kind of have time to do other things at home that they're passionate about versus and also doing homework. Cause that was me when I was like, you know, I would do homework, but I wouldn't work too hard. Cause also I had all these other things that I was really, really passionate about that I was working. And I always wondered, for example, I am a great graphic designer, and I would sit there in class. I'm like, man, this teacher designed this PowerPoint. I bet there's a bunch of kids in my classroom that know graphic design that could actually help the teacher create better, more visual slides. So, but then it's like, do they even know if any students in this classroom actually know, they have the skill?
So Enlight is an app that is made for educators?
Yes.
And how does it work?
Yeah, so the way Enlight works is that like we basically like sent like on the first day of school. It's a web platform, so you could use it literally on your phone and your computer. And it's just simply an app that helps you get to know more about your students. And the things like really like that you never really get revealed until usually the end of the school, really never get revealed at all. So the way it works is like on the first day of school, like students would go on Enlight and they would build student profiles. And these profiles would ask students, tell us six things that you're really interested in right now. So the students would pick six things that they're interested in. This is the onboarding system. And then next, they would ask the students, tell us one thing that you're really passionate about, and why are you passionate about it? And Dave, this question is an open-ended question where even if a student doesn't have anything that they're passionate about, they don't have to put anything in. So they could leave it blank if they're not passionate about anything. That creates an access point for a teacher to say, oh, maybe I should like talk to this student and try to figure out like, maybe they should start, you know, figuring out something about their passions or something they aspire to be. And then the third question we ask is, if you could solve any problem in your community or the world, what would it be? Dave, this is a question that most students don't even ever hear, right? It's like, what do you really, really care about in your heart? And so by us asking students if you could solve any problem in your community or the world, what would you solve? It actually creates this other like data point to where we like the students actually sharing with the teacher something that they aspire to be and something that they really, really care about. And then the last thing that we ask students is, you know, do you like projects or do you like more lecture based or are you more like, you know, like a visually immersed classroom? So, for example, like for me, like I like visuals, like I like to see videos and I like to really like I got to see it to believe it, actually. And so what this does is like all this data, we collect it from the student and then we put him on a student profile that is like designed very, very beautifully for a teacher to just go look at and say, hey, Chris is interested in graphic design. You know, he's really into math. You know, he likes cooking and he likes, videos. Like, he's really passionate about entrepreneurship and he's passionate about entrepreneurship because he thinks entrepreneurs are literally the heart of the world because they solve all the people's problems. And if I could solve any problem in my community or the world, my biggest aspiration is to go after world hunger because I've seen what world hunger is like in Africa and the places where I'm from. And I truly feel like there's ways to solve that. So that's my biggest aspiration for me. And then like I said, if you want to teach me, I got to see it to believe it. I really got to, it's got to be a little bit more visual. But all those data points that I just told you, Dave, it's me telling you as a human being about who I am, not anybody else.
That is really cool. And your website is enlightapp.co. And yes. One thing that really stands out to me is, in this time of COVID and students not in school, This actually may turn into a better opportunity for teachers to get to know students, because there's so much chaos going on in the classroom, and you know, you talk to a teacher for a couple seconds, this and that. But if a teacher can read your profile, your answers to these questions in their quiet time, they will probably get to know you better offline than in person, in a sense, right?
Yeah, it's not crazy, right? Like our timing was really perfect, because like in the world of, you know, it's not, and even if the students are in person, the students are wearing face masks. You know, it's very hard for teachers to get to know these kids, because interaction right now are very limited. And when students are online, it's very hard for teachers to engage. And so what we're coming in is saying, hey, like we can actually help you get to know these kids, even if you're not with them in the classroom, by building these very robust, open-ended question student profiles that will allow you to actually get to know your students very, very quick. In like 15 minutes, you get all this data about all your students that you can actually go home and even prepare. Because one of the most like the beauty of Enlight is that like when I started building these profiles for teachers, and I would always like I would always think about like how many they have. If you have like 300 students, it's also very hard for you to go through 300 profiles at once. And so something that we're doing at Enlight is building something called class profiles. What these class profiles actually allow is that we take all the data, so the interests like of all the 200 students, and we can give it to you on a dashboard so you can read it very quickly of like, you know, if your top interest in your classroom is math, you know, podcasts, you know, kids like to watch videos. So we can actually give you a robust understanding of each classroom. So Dave, you know how they always talk about you gotta like personalize for, you know, get to know the student, personalize it for them. Now you can personalize learning for classrooms by using class profiles, because class profiles can actually tell you what the mood is gonna be like. If 80% of your students are saying they like to do more projects, then, you know, figure out to do projects. But if you're confused about what projects they should be doing, look at what the students are interested in. Once you know what they're interested in, you know exactly what type of projects to bring that would actually engage your students. And for us students, and I think you hear this all the time, like we don't care how much you know until we know how much you care, right? Like I think that's a really famous quote in education. And so it's very, very important when on the first day of school, like, hey guys, I really want to get to know more about you guys. Fill up this quick survey, and then, you know, we can go from there.
That is an amazing idea, and something that, like I said, is especially in this COVID time, which is horrible. Don't get me wrong. And I know a lot of people who have had COVID and gone through it. And
I had it too this summer.
Really? Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's wow. Anyway, I want to move on to, because there's more, Chris, there's more to you than just Enlight, but enlightapp.co, it sounds like a great aggregation, an aggregator of information that teachers, I just see teachers learning more about students this way than actually in person.
That's the crazy part, right, Dave? Is that, you know, for us, we're so used as students, right, and Gen Z, and even like, we're used to giving data to like, you know, Instagram and all these, like, they're always asking us these things. And like, and for us, like, I'd rather like type it in of like what I'm really passionate about than, you know, Mr. Dave, I'm really passionate about this and this and this. Like, those conversations just never happen.
Yeah.
Because it's even hard, like students have to be so courageous to go say that, and teachers don't have the time and the capacity to do that with every student. And that's why we're really taking that off their hands. And I'm gonna just touch on one more thing here. Like, one of the things that like is very, very important is that like when I was in high school, and even in college right now, one of the things that they always do is like those end of the year surveys. Dave, I don't know if you remember taking those. It's like the teacher's like, tell me how I did this year, give me feedback. And it's like, why are you waiting until the end of the year to get feedback from us? You know, like where this data is really relevant. You have to wait, because the students who come in the year after, they're going to be totally different students who are totally like, you know, have different interests, passions, and all these things. So this data is irrelevant. So we're building in like polls on our platform that actually takes the end of the year survey and actually administers it throughout the year. So for you as a teacher, you're actually getting feedback from your students throughout the year, so instead of waiting until the end of the year to know how to pivot and really connect with your students. So you can actually start ensuring success beyond the classroom.
That's awesome. We're going to move on, but I just want to end this part by saying what you have is similar to Facebook, similar to Gmail, because when you get a, you know, there's always a trade-off when you get a Gmail account. They get to read your emails, and even if it's AI, whatever, to target market, you know, advertising to you.
Yeah.
Same thing
yeah.
with Facebook. And but so now you're giving teachers the ability to target what students are interested in. And,
exactly.
And exactly. what they want to do. So
exactly.
It's really cool. So Chris, that's enlightapp.co. But Chris, there's more to you than that. Pathway Ventures. Tell us about Pathway Ventures. It's interesting.
Yeah. So for me, I guess being like, you know, this kind of crazy kid who's like, you know, there's a problem, I want to solve it. So a few colleagues and I at NDSU, we were researching about like the VC world, especially in the Midwest. And we found out just how like underserved this region is for venture capital, and like especially for minority founders. And so at like my university, a few friends like me and a few other friends of mine, we actually started a venture fund called Pathway Ventures. And Pathway Ventures is a student run venture fund. It's a $1 million fund that actually funds underserved founders in the Midwest who are interested in building like technologies for the future.
And where'd you get this $1 million funding?
We're raising the money from alumni. So, and you know, NDSU alumni or anybody who would just really like to support a student-run fund that is really catered towards people who are underserved and entrepreneurs who are underserved, like myself. And this is kind of goes back again to my spirit of, Dave, when I see a problem, I really want to solve it. And I'm kind of impatient sometimes. I'm like, you know, someone needs to do something now. And that's kind of the spirit that I have. And it's kind of the same spirit when I was in high school. I was like, I feel like teachers are boring, so let's fix it now instead of waiting for later.
So that's awesome. And so, especially alumni, and what a great idea to start Pathway Ventures. And then also, Future Founders, which is out of Chicago. You're a member of that, right?
Yeah, so I'm a member of Future Founders. It's a fellowship out of Chicago where they pick some of the top 20 like, you know, youth entrepreneurs around the US and we go kind of build this awesome cohort. Really, I call it my family. And they pick people who they feel like are going to be innovators for the future, and they're going to be because they truly believe that entrepreneurship is for everyone. And especially I really urge teachers, like if you have students who are problem solvers and really looking for new ways to solve problems, like I would truly encourage you to look at them and say, hey, like maybe entrepreneurship is for you. And Future Founders is really just giving me a home of me being really picked as one of the top 20, like, you know, innovators in the US has been a really, really awesome honor for myself, you know, especially coming from where I come from. Like, it's a really, really awesome accomplishment.
You were picked what? Top 30?
20.
Or top 20?
Yeah,
sorry.
But,
top 20 what?
But it's like top 20, like I think like youth entrepreneurs around the nation. But you know, like I was thinking maybe it's a little over exaggerated because like, you know, like a lot of other people, I know a lot more like youth who are doing way crazier things than me. So So, but yeah, but it's really truly an honor to be in Future Founders.
No, congratulations.
If you're, like I was gonna say, if you're a teacher and you know any students who are doing amazing things, please refer them to the Fellowship of Future Founders in Chicago.
That is awesome. Well, D.A. Marseille, Christelle,
DMFC.
Chris. Marcy. D.A. Now, is that what an amazing story, though, coming from Tanzania and having spent most of your life in a refugee camp?
Yeah.
I don't know. How old are you?
22 years old. And I came here not knowing zero English. I knew nothing. And this is like one of the most beautiful things is that it was this teacher who, because I love speaking, I love public speaking. My teacher actually in Colorado got Teacher of the Year. I think it was like my second year in school. She got Teacher of the Year. And Dave, she challenged me because like she knew how much I love talking in the classroom. She challenged me. She said, if you write a speech for me to give in front of like my peers after winning, if you write it and go like deliver the speech, I will take you out of ELL. So I actually worked so hard, not only on my English, but like basically she found out what motivates me so much. Like I really wanted to get out of ELL and I did the speech. And it was my first time ever eating McDonald's. But I did the speech and she like, I did it very well. And I was able to actually get out of ELL. I only did ELL classes for 2 years because of this really, really amazing teacher that was able to truly figure who I was out and challenge me in the ways that were more, not just progressive on my part, but also very, very relevant.
There are people in all our lives who make a big impact. And Chris, I see you as being a person who is going to be and probably already has made a big impact on other people's lives. With your enthusiasm and knowledge and what a story. You are an inspiration to young startups who think that they got it tough. Listen to your story about what you're doing. What a great idea. Again, enlightapp.co. And then, of course, Great Fun Pathway Ventures. Maybe a little donation in there somewhere would be great. Future Founders, congratulations on the top 20. And if someone wants to get, reach out and get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, and I am Chris@enlightapp.co is my email. Please reach out. We're trying to get as many teachers on the platform as we can. This spring is when we're going to be launching, and it's going to be awesome. We have more than 300 educators already on our wait list, Dave. We have three school districts, and one of the best school districts in New York already signed up. Like it's really, really, really amazing. And something that I want to just touch on quick is that I truly believe that I'm building something bigger than myself. I truly believe that. And I want to build this with teachers. I don't want to build it for them. I want to build it with them. And with their with their permission, I truly think that we can actually make the teachers' dreams come true of bringing this purpose-driven data that allows these teachers to expand their capacity so they can have more of the types of experiences that with their students that made them want to become teachers in the first place.
With the really overall bottom line of being better able, I believe, to connect and engage students.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Especially with the Black Lives Matter movement that happened this summer and the coronavirus, like the greatest anti-racist skill you really could learn as an educator is to build human connections with the humans in your classroom.
Wow. D.A. Marseille, Christelle, Chris.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us on the EdNorth EdTech podcast. I think we got another couple hours could do. So I think we'll have you back in the future. Just a phenomenal idea. Thanks again for joining us on the EdNorth EdTech podcast. We put out your information on how to reach you. And I think we will do a follow-up, a little down the road and see where you're at. Is that all right?
Yes. Yes. I would love to. I would love to, Dave.
Well, thanks again to DMRSA Cristal for being a guest here on the EdNorth EdTech podcast. What a startup. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about the App in Light. Hey, if you like the EdNorth EdTech podcast, do us a favor and don't just say you're going to do it. Do it. Well, it takes just a minute. Give us a review. Whatever platform you're listening to this on, you can write a review. Give it some stars. Give it to us. Show a little love. How about that? And subscribe. And then this way, every time a new episode comes out, boom, you got it. And it's ready to go, and we compress these files so they're really small, so they take up just a tiny bit of room on your digital device. So there you go. On behalf of the EdNorth EdTech podcast, I'm Dave Swerdlick, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon on the next EdNorth EdTech podcast.